Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Although Bloomberg has around an 18-point lead in the polls, old Monopoly Money Mike still decided to purchase a one-minute ad last night during the World Series, presumably to connect with the common man.
You know, there's a lot at stake in this election. Every vote counts. But it all ends here, in this room, at your kitchen table.
It's a powerful message. Undercut slightly by the fact that no one in New York City has a kitchen table.
Jon Stewart on The Daily Show last night, who went on to point out, by the way, that it looked in the video of that Bloomberg commercial like the mayor actually had two kitchen tables in the apartment with him. And I guess if you can afford two kitchen tables, why not? Maybe he has seven kitchen tables in one of his other homes. Who knows? But happy Election Day, everyone. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show exit poll. If you thought it was unscientific last hour, I can't wait to hear some of the calls this hour and how the results turn out. We will take calls next from anyone who decided in the last 3 days in the New York City mayor's race. Seriously, if you only decided on Saturday or later in the mayoral election, who are you voting for? There was 8 or 10% undecided block in the polls that were coming out even last week. So Bloomberg, Thompson, Reverend Billy, none of the above, someone else even further down the ballot. The number of people who stay home is a real issue in this race today. So the number of you who've decided in the last 3 days who to vote for and are actually turning out could make a difference. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Late deciders for our callers from New York for the next few minutes, 212-433-9692. Or you can get in touch in two other ways. Post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or to our Brian Lehrer Facebook group. But our phones are open for our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll for anyone who decided in the last 3 days in the mayoral race, 212-433-9692. We'll also ask for any stories from your polling places today when you call in, if anything fishy or just interesting is happening. You know, there was a Thompson flyer in my building lobby today showing him with Fernando Ferrer. I live in a largely Latino area, which might be why, but it made me wonder, is today feeling any different from 2005 when Bloomberg was reelected easily against Fernando Ferrer, the former Bronx Borough president? And let's talk to Bob Hart while your calls are coming in. Bob Hart, political director of New York One. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Does it feel different to you today than 2005 when Bloomberg rolled over Ferrer?
The mood out, you know, I live out in Rockaway, and the mood out there just walking over to the polling place was pretty sleepy, I have to say, 4 years ago where I live, and it was pretty sleepy today. That certainly wasn't the case a year ago where I actually had a rare moment where I had to wait for the Obama-McCain race. So this feels a lot of like deja vu 2009-2005.
I thought the only reason to live in the Rockaways besides the beach is that you don't have to wait online for anything.
You're absolutely right, and that's why last year was so shocking to me that I actually had to wait 10 minutes to vote in the presidential race. And I usually vote, some journalists don't, but I usually vote. In fact, I always vote, and last year was the only time where I had to wait in the 12 years I've lived out in the Rockaways.
Well, it certainly is different from the presidential election. What are you hearing from your news team out in the field today? Anything?
Not much. I mean, the turnout is very low. It's hard to get a real, you know, a figure on it at this hour. People are always asking, "Oh, what's turnout?" And it's, you know, the polls have only been open for 5 hours. But I do foresee we're probably close to record low. 1997, when Rudy Giuliani was running for re-election against Ruth Messenger, was a very, very low turnout. 4 years ago, wasn't as low, but it was pretty low. This is going to be pretty far down there, I predict.
So let's touch on a couple of other races in the city real briefly, and then we'll get to our late decider New York callers. There's a city council race in Brooklyn where the Bishop of Brooklyn from the Catholic Church has actually recorded robocalls. You following that?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that, to be honest. I can't recall the last time the clergy got so actively involved in front of a race. In fact, I can't ever recall since in the last 25 years of that being the case.
The Times had a scathing editorial about it today and said that this is Bishop DiMarzio voting and casting his lot with the political boss, the very powerful Democratic leader of Brooklyn, Vito Lopez, who is supporting a Working Families Party candidate in a city council race there, rather than support the Democrat incumbent who, who I guess the Times thinks is doing a good job and is more independent from the boss.
Well, Vito Lopez has been extremely helpful to Bishop DiMarzio in pushing a piece of legislation in Albany that would not, it's basically a watered-down version of a stronger bill that would put the Catholic Church, make the Catholic Church vulnerable to lawsuits of people claiming that they were sexually abused by clergy members in Catholic school. And DiMarzio has had a very, very strong ally with Lopez in pushing this other bill that the church supports. So I think that's what we're seeing here is a little bit of quid pro quo with those robocalls against Diana Reyna, the incumbent.
Staten Island Borough President, is that in play?
It's funny, I think you really need to be there, but we have a pretty strong Staten Island unit. And I talk to some people, and they say, hey, it's very safe for Jim Molinaro. And then others say that the challenger, Mr. Luisi, who ran 4 years ago, has a fighting chance. I just don't know. And on a day with turnout so low, that's when surprises can happen. So I would think that Molinaro, the incumbent, is safe, but you just don't know.
How about the city council race in Brooklyn, where a legendary Paul, Al Vann, is the Democratic nominee. He survived a primary against a whole host of challengers, but didn't get that much of the vote. And his strongest challenger, Mark Winston Griffith, who had the Working Families Party endorsement, decide to actually stay on the ballot for today's general election on the Working Families Party line, which is unusual. Most people who run in Democratic primaries with the Working Families Party line in addition drop out if they don't win the primary. Mark Winston Griffith is staying in and trying to beat Al Vann in Central Brooklyn today.
I think it's a real uphill battle for Winston Griffith because it's a third party line. Al Vann is a well-known name. I do think Winston Griffith will have a very respectable showing, but in the end of the day, the power of incumbency of that name and also the A line, the Democratic line, the first line you see when you go in to the voting booth. So at the end of the day, I don't see it. It could be tight, but at the end of the day, I think Vann will hang on.
Griffith got Al Sharpton's endorsement. He got Charles Barron's endorsement. You think that just doesn't come across enough people's radar screen?
I think it comes across the screen, but not enough to do it. And let me tell you, if Winston Griffith does pull it off, it's a major, major victory for the Working Families Party. They had one other victory like that when Tish James in Brooklyn won just as the Working Families Party candidate the first time around, which was a pretty impressive win as well. But I recall that the Democratic her opponent was much weaker than Al Vann. So I just don't see that in that race.
You see anything at stake motivating Mark Winston Griffith and his supporters other than Al Vann being kind of old and tired and seeming to phone it in right now? I mean, do they disagree on anything?
I don't know enough on the issues, but, I mean, you hit the nail on the head in terms of the way that they've been characterizing Vann. And, I think Winston Griffith probably has a promising future. You and I have seen plenty of these candidates run against the establishment one, two, sometimes even three times, and then finally succeed on their next attempt. And that's very well what may happen in his case.
Any other city council race you want to shout out before you go? We talked last hour with some other guests about the one in Bayside, Queens, Tony Avella's old seat.
That's a good race, and then the one in my district in the Rockaways is pretty good, too. There's a Republican who won in a special election, Eric Ulrich, who's up against a guy who's kind of a Democratic establishment guy, Frank Guluccio, I can never say his name correctly. That's kind of a toss-up, and the Republicans would like to hold on to that because they have only a handful of seats in the council.
And there's a three-way race in Flushing, which is also interesting. Have you followed that Flushing race at all?
I haven't. I have not. Beyond looking at the headlines,
right.
A little bit. But that's extremely competitive.
How about the down and dirty? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead.
How about that down and dirty race though in the Bayside area between Halloran and Kevin Kim?
It'd be a triumph for the Pagans if Halloran wins, it looks like.
Oh, but that's so unfair, right? I mean, I can't believe they brought up his actual religious beliefs.
No, yeah, I agree with you. It is unfair, but it's a great tabloid story. You rarely will see a city council race get that much publicity, and it is unfortunately from Mr. Halloran's religious beliefs. And you're right; it isn't really kosher. If it was anything else, people wouldn't be talking about it.
Right. When are you expecting a result tonight, Bob, in the mayoral race? Any estimate as to when you're going to be able to call?
This is my blind guesstimate that we will be calling. We meaning New York One. I'm hoping around 10:30, but I could be wrong.
Oh, you think it'll take that long, huh?
Well, I'm conservative, and the Associated Press is extremely conservative, and there are no exit polls. So, that's the thing.
Right.
In the old days, with exit polls, with 901, we could call it. I'm hoping around 10, maybe 10:20, 10:30.
All right. Bob Hart, political director, executive editor of – let me get that right.
Executive producer.
Producer. I knew it was one of those media kind of jobs. Political director and executive producer of New York One News. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our election coverage begins at 8 o'clock tonight, by the way. I'll be back and with the WNYC News team and our partners at WBGO in Newark tonight. So now we're going to go to your calls and comments on the mayoral race, if you have decided in the last 3 days between Bloomberg and Thompson and anyone else. There are other candidates on the ballot. Reverend Billy, who was here for a campaign appearance. How many stations had Reverend Billy? Or anyone else? 212-433-WNYC. Anne in Throgsneck. You're on WNYC. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Who are you voting for? When did you decide?
My vote is really based on a vote against Bloomberg. I am voting for Thompson. But I wanted to explain what Bloomberg could have done to make me vote for him.
Yes.
Bloomberg could have created quite a paradigm shift. He really missed an opportunity because he didn't need the exposure of millions of dollars worth of campaigning. He could have gone on his record alone and said, everybody knows who I am, so I'm going to donate this money that I would have used for a campaign, and I'm going to put it back into the city. I have issues with Bloomberg, but that would have just been such a great opportunity.
To give $100 million of his own money to the city
coffers. In other words, I have been bombarded, as you said earlier, with his campaign ads. It was such overkill. And so unnecessary, and that money could have been so much better spent. And I would have regained some respect for him if he had done it that way.
And thank you for your call. Late deciders in the mayoral race. Our lines are full, but we'll try to go through people pretty quickly. Then you can get in behind them at 212-433-WNYC if you decided in the last 3 days. Jose in Woodside, you're on WNYC. Who are you voting for? When did you decide?
Bloomberg. I just decided a few days ago, basically for two reasons. One was the closing of the numbers. I decided that it was I couldn't take a chance that Bloomberg would lose. And number two was this constant litany of people saying that he was spending too much money. Obama's telling people, spend money, spend money, spend money. If you look at how many jobs, how many companies have received money that he has spent on this election, he didn't have to spend this money. He gives enough through charitable contributions. So he didn't really have to, but I believe that this is such a positive thing on his part to spend that much money to keep people
right.
at work
so
and certain companies in business.
What made you consider voting against them?
Well, the numbers are getting too close. I decided I couldn't take a chance that Thompson would win.
Okay.
We can't afford that.
Jose,
really.
Thank you. Francis in Brooklyn, who voted for a minor party candidate. Hey, Francis. Whoops, I just lost Francis. Let me try to get Francis back. Francis, do we have you?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I decided to vote for Stephen Christopher from the Conservative Party because I think it's good to have a strong third party. I don't think it's a good idea to rely completely on a two-party system.
Any particular stand of this Conservative Party candidate?
Well, I like the fact that he said that he's going to try to increase, like, education. He wants to get back to the requirements. He said he feels that there's not enough time spent on, you know, teaching children to read and how to do the new arithmetic. And he said he's going to try to cut down on waste throughout the city. So that plus the fact that we need a strong third party, I think, made me decide to vote for Mr. Christopher.
Francis, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. From our webpage, Clay writes, I voted for Thompson against my better judgment. I couldn't reward spending 10 times more than his opponent and changing the rules to hold on to power for Bloomberg. But Carolita wrote, Bloomberg, I have no problem with him, and even the term limits thing was totally legal if distasteful to some. If he's available, I'll take him again, says Carolita. And then there is Rizmond in Chelsea. You're on WNYC. Hey, when did you decide and who you're voting for?
Yeah, hello. Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm calling from Chelsea. I'm a cab driver, and I decided a long time ago because Bloomberg, you know, has make our lives miserable. I'm a taxi driver, so...
Election Day happens to come the day after the 50-cent surcharge took effect, or 2 days after, right?
Yeah. So
was that an issue for you?
Okay, you know, so many things. You know, it's in my mind that the reason why I voted for Thompson because Bloomberg has designed the avenues, the streets, no turn, no, you know, the lanes, two lanes become one lane, two lanes. You know, it makes the driving for us, become harder and harder. It's hard for us to drive. Now, you know, I'm thinking about the snow. If snow falls now, it's going to be difficult for us because the truck, there won't be any place where it's going to plow the snow, and the driving is going to be tough for us. So many things, you know, in my mind.
Were you thinking about the bike lanes that made the streets also narrower for drivers? Is that what you meant by narrower?
Also, yeah, it's among of the, you know, what I'm thinking, because the bike lanes also is dangerous for the bikers. And sometimes when you are making a turn, unfortunately, sometimes bikers come across you. You don't know how to avoid that. You know, so many things. So in fact, it make driving for. So I wish every taxi cab driver should vote for Thompson. You know,
Rizmond, I'm going to leave it there and move on. Call us again, okay? I appreciate you calling in.
All right, thank you.
Rita on the Upper East Side. Who are you voting for? When did you decide?
Well, I'm voting for Bloomberg. I was upset with him about the Second Avenue merchants not getting some tax relief, and it was a concern. But I recall at the first debate when Thompson said he was going to get rid of all the commissioners, including Ray Kelly. And I feel since he didn't have any names to offer, I'm just afraid he's going to get us another Carrick. Who knows? I prefer to have Ray Kelly in place. And I thought that was an issue that hadn't been touched. And it really finally decided me.
Thank you for your call.
So, there you are.
Susie in the Village, you're on WNYC. Who are you voting for? When did you decide?
I decided yesterday, and I'm going to vote for Thompson. I was thinking of voting for Reverend Billy. I thought he was great on your show. The term limits thing is just a non-starter. It's anti-democratic. I think Bloomberg is utterly corrupt. I mean, people think because he's rich, he can't be corrupt. Corruption requires a buyer and a seller, and he's buying like a drunken sailor in a house of ill repute. I think he sold the city out to developers. Neighborhoods are going to hell. I stand with Thomas Hobbes. I find him nasty, brutish, and short.
Susie, thank you very much. No ambivalence there, except between whether to cast a protest vote for Reverend Billy, which she says she almost did, or voting for Thompson, which she did. Deb in Morris Park has a split household, right, Deb?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I voted for Mayor Bloomberg, and my husband voted for Bill Thompson because of the term limits and on principle. But back to what the last caller just said is that the city runs well, and you can't, you know, two callers ago, you can't replace everybody. You can't just replace all the commissioners. I mean, I remember a time well, my parents remember a time when the city was running terribly. Giuliani cleaned it all up. It was harsh. But after 9/11, Bloomberg was the best guy we could get. And I'm saying this knowing that after I finish graduate school, I'm not going to be able to afford to live here. But I know that New York will be functioning. I think that's more important.
All right. So your husband and you disagreed.
Yes.
Deb, thank you very much. From our webpage, two people who kind of talk to each other without realizing it, I guess. Troy writes, I decided over the weekend to vote for Thompson. I'm really disappointed that he didn't come out with anything policy or idea-wise, but I can't vote for Bloomberg. Too many memories of walking around Manhattan before the economic collapse and seeing buildings replaced by horrible-looking glass condos. The city's going to be unrecognizable if he gets his way. But then an anonymous poster writes, I'm remembering some person saying we have to hold our noses as we walk into the voting booth. I definitely have this feeling about the mayor this year. Don't like Mike anymore, but need someone that powerful to keep our water clean. I don't see Thompson standing up to anybody and winning. I am bothering myself to vote because I love my council person, Jessica Lappin, who deserves my vote today. So there's a little sampling of Bloomberg voters, Thompson voters. Those of you who have decided in the last 3 days, thank you very much for calling in. And we'll continue with more of our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will check in with Robert McCarthy from the McCartney from the Washington Post, who's down in Virginia, which has the other governor's race today. And that one might actually have more implications for Obama than what happens in New Jersey. So stay with us.